Now, the one who protects us all from prattling prognosticators and perfidious pundits.
I say, America, stay out the bushes.
Look for the union label.
And to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the government.
From my cold, dead hands.
I'm concerned that if we don't impeach this president, he will get reelected.
It's time for the Alan Nathan Show. Here he is, the longest-running nationally syndicated centrist host in the country, Alan Nathan.
Well, welcome, everyone, to another edition of the Alan Nathan Show. I'm Karen Cataline, and it is my pleasure to be one of the regular guest hosts here on the Alan Nathan Show on the Main Street Radio Network. Good to have you along. Just so you know, here's Alan's motto. We want the Republicans out of our bedrooms, the Democrats out of our wallets, and both out of our First and Second Amendment rights. Well, there couldn't be more going on. I guess there could, but boy, is there a lot going on, and we have a great lineup of guests for you today. To start us off, I'm delighted to have with us, first out of the box, Executive Director of Scholars for Peace in the Middle East, SPME. He's the co-author of Religion, Politics, and the Origins of Palestine Refugee Relief. His name is Dr. Asaf Ramorowski, and we have him right now on the Alan Nathan Show. Thank you, Doctor, for being with us today.
Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
Yeah, what an interesting time for you to be on the air with us as we watch the Iran and Israel. I don't even know what to call it, but it is happening now. Why don't we just start with your thoughts and what you are watching? We're all watching.
Well, I would call it a war for sure. I mean, you know, let's, you know, to contextualize exactly where we are. This is the war. Israel has been fighting a multi-front war with Iran since October 7th. And has been dealing with the nuclear threat of Iran and discussing the potential threat of what a nuclear threat means for at least the past 30 years, not to mention the general outlook that we've been looking at Iran since 1979. And so what you're seeing here is a culmination of, and according to Israeli intelligence, what we've seen is that Iran was literally close to having a bomb, and as far as enough weapons grade material to produce their guesstimation between 9 and 12 atomic bombs and other kind of nuclear threats to Israel. Israel would not live and should not live with a nuclear threat that calls for its destruction. And what you saw really is, I would say, a magnificent execution when it comes to intelligence and military operations, where Israel had actually drone bases in Tehran and was able to target the top leadership, the scientists, all with the goal of degrading Iran to a point of not being a threat. But I also want to preface here that the target is the regime, not the people, and that's been the art, and that has been the objective all along. And now you're seeing the retaliation coming from Iran, which was to be expected. And this will continue for sure for the next few weeks.
Dr. Ramorowski, I'm so glad I do commentary, and I'm not trying to be a journalist per se. This is commentary. This is opinion, and it was so what you said in a short amount of time. For those watching, isn't it interesting, I just get your thoughts on this, that we so expect Iran to be the terrorist country that it is, and I agree totally with you. I think that there are many Iranians who are just as desperate to get this regime out as maybe Saudi Arabia is, but we are come to just expect and not expect any more of Iran when it targets civilians in Israel, while Israel only precision targets nuclear weapons that won't just harm Israel, but the entire Middle East. How come we don't expect more from them? Maybe we are now. What do you think?
No, I think that's to be expected. I mean, look, Iran and Iranian proxies, which, you know, you could count them, you know, when it comes to Hamas, Hezbollah, the Houthis, to your point exactly correctly, they do not discriminate between combatants and non-combatants. Everybody, every Jew, every Israeli, you know, every Westerner for that matter, let's not forget that the entire Iranian ideology is based on the large Satan, that is the United States, and the small Satan, that is Israel, and that satanic alliance is problematic for them. And had the Israelis not taken out and devastated the leadership of Hezbollah in the pager operation, you would have seen ballistic missiles that Hezbollah has raining in on Israel. And so from their perspective, everybody's a legitimate target. And so it's all on brand when it comes to what Iran does. And Iran has been playing this game for a very long time.
And getting away with it.
I mean,
with a very enabling previous American administrations who sent them money to help their nuclear capability to move forward. That ain't the case anymore, is it?
Oh, of course not. I mean, and again, we've sent them billions of dollars and without any kind of return. Not to mention the fact that, you know, again, I think the naivete, you know, going back to the 2015 JCPOA, we believe that, you know, the belief was that we could, you know, win Iran over with economic carrots and they're going to change, you know, and they're going to change along the way. There is no amount of
I'm sorry. Go ahead. I didn't mean to interrupt you. I don't believe a word of it that they were. You know, being naive. This is what they tell everybody. They were deliberately enabling and empowering and enriching Iran. That administration, the previous one before Trump, was indeed pro-Iran. Everything they did was pro-Iran.
Yeah, and let me be clear. I was being sarcastic when I was saying naive. I think that there was a malicious move here, and not only that, especially under the Obama administration that was followed by the Biden administration, there was to my mind, a nefarious move to actually try to create what I would consider to be a realignment in the Middle East and to move away from traditional alliances supporting Sunni traditional states that the U.S. has supported and moving into Shia states supporting Iran and Iranian proxies. And that has come back to bite us, not to mention the fact now, again, you know, when you talk about money transfers, there's also money that was sitting with the Qataris and other monies that was sitting, you know, in South Korea and other kind of monies that we have allowed to come into Iran. And let's not forget who Iran's allies are, Russia and China. And so when you zoom out as far as the adversaries of the United States, and you look at exactly where, you know, where this is playing out in the Middle East, these are sworn enemies of the United States, of the West, and of Israel. And that's exactly where this was all going.
Doctor, let's talk a little bit about what's happening now at press time. This is a fluid situation, but it's interesting when I looked at my news early this morning, suddenly Iran wants to talk. Suddenly Iran is almost begging of all countries, Saudi Arabia, to get Trump to talk once again and to come back to the peace table or the negotiating table. The left will fall for it because they do every time because they really are pro the other side. We know the patterns and strategies of this regime because we've been watching it for decades. Whenever they want to talk, they are on the ropes and they want time to regroup so they can strike again. Am I wrong? And what do you think? I think Donald Trump ain't falling for it this time. What do you think?
Oh, I'm with you. I mean, I think they're stalling. I mean, you know, fool me once, fool me twice. How many times do you need to be fooled? And how many red lines need to be crossed before anybody does anything? And the bigger problem has been to date, you know, was that previous administrations refused, and literally tried to stop Israel from having a military option on the table. And so here we are when, you know, when all bets are off the table and there is literally, Israel has a target on their back. We should stand with the Israelis. And let's be clear. Israel's enemies are America's enemies. And if we don't stand by our ally now, they're going to come home. They are already home right here as far as money and activity.
Through open borders. I just want to say, because it's such a passionate issue for so many people and, you know, conservatives in general, we don't have glee because this is happening. We're hopeful that there's peace and peace will be brought through strength so that more peace-loving countries can actually get along. Really quickly, how do people get your book? I'm sorry I didn't have more time to talk about it.
No, 100%. They can find it on Amazon and look at the website, spme.org.
Dr. Romorowski, can't wait to talk to you again. Thank you for joining us. We appreciate you. Well, we're going to take a quick break. We'll have more. We're just getting started. Don't go away.
It's no surprise that people love their pets. In fact, 97% of pet owners consider them part of the family. Amazon's Jen Ray has more.
Amazon Pet Day makes caring for your pets easier than ever. The 48-hour sales event features thousands of deals with the convenience of Amazon's fast delivery. Whether you're welcoming a new puppy, upgrading essentials for a senior pet, or looking for products that pamper, there's something for everyone.
Nearly two-thirds of U.S. households have a pet. That's 86.9 million homes.
With so many households having pets, Amazon has something for every pet owner and their furry friends, from trusted basics to exciting new favorites across price points. Plus, Amazon is expanding its pet care offerings, now providing prescription pet medications on Amazon.com through VetSource, a leading pet pharmacy.
On May 13th and 14th, Amazon Pet Day will offer incredible deals, including on our most popular and pet-approved brands, like Purina Pro Plan, Iams, PetSafe, O'Norman, Ring, and more. Learn more at Amazon.com/Pet Day. As the school year winds down, many high school students are thinking ahead to what comes next. For some, that means staying academically engaged over the summer and preparing for the transition to college. Shauna Thayer, CEO of the online education platform Sophia Learning, has more.
Sophia Learning offers college-level courses that students can take at their own pace and are designed to transfer for credit. This summer, we're giving eligible rising high school juniors and seniors free access to 6 college-level courses. It's a great way for students to get a head start, see what college classes are really like, or try something new without the pressure.
A new survey finds that 72% of high school juniors and seniors who plan to attend college in the next 2 years feel they need to go to college to be successful, but 51% want more time to decide on a major.
Preparing for college is exciting, but can come with uncertainty. This program gives students a chance to learn at their own pace, gain confidence, and make informed choices about their future.
Learn more at sophia.org. That's Sophia with a PH.org.
What I know about courage, I learned from my adoptive mom. She said sometimes you just gotta hold on and know we'll get through this.
Mom, we are so high up. Hold my hand.
No, you hold my hand.
Here we go.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more.
I learned patience from my adoptive dad. All he had to say was,
"Hey, you got this. Just breathe." Hey. Pretty good.
Yeah.
Might have to start a band.
I got it.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by AdoptUSKids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
The mission of Paralyzed Veterans of America is clear. Accessibility. Veterans who have served and sacrificed the best of themselves deserve access to the best our country has to offer. Access to meaningful employment. Access to the veterans' benefits they've earned. Accessible homes and vehicles. And access to every part of their communities. With PVA staff working inside VA hospitals, no other veterans organization has provided more real-time, ongoing support for paralyzed veterans and their families. PVA is proud to serve veterans across all branches, all generations, and all conflicts. Our nation's heroes fought for your independence. Join PVA in fighting for theirs at pva.org.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Alan Nathan Show. What a pleasure it is to be with you on the Main Street Radio Network. We have a full plate of guests today in just about the most newsworthy. It just keeps coming, doesn't it? It's hard to keep up with Donald Trump and all that he's doing. He is at the G7 conference today while he's managing so many other balls in the air, and we're here to talk about it. And next up is resident fellow at the Alexander Hamilton Institute for the Study of Western Civilization and the founder of the Dissident Prof Education Project. She's author of Debunking FDR, The Man and the Myth. Boy, I wish I had time to talk all about that and nothing else, but we got a lot to talk about. Mary Graybar joins us right now on the Alan Nathan Show. Hi, Mary. Good to have you along.
Well, thank you. It's great to be here.
You know what? Just tell us real quick, was FDR the great peace maker? Just real quick, and then we'll tell everybody about your book so they can hear more. And we're going to talk a little bit about critical race theory, because that's what you're here to talk about.
Yeah, well, you know, there's this big myth about Franklin Roosevelt that he brought us through the Depression and defeated Nazi fascism. Actually, what he did was he extended the Depression and probably extended the war longer than it needed to go on. So those are the two big myths that I'm debunking. Mm. And he was not a friend of the working man. He was an elitist, and fashioned the New Deal program in order to benefit his wealthy cronies. So I go
sounds
through
like
the
a liberal,
early part
doesn't it?
Of his presidency.
It sounds like what the liberals do. They proclaim themselves the opposite of what they reap, don't they? I just came
exactly.
Up with that.
Yes, indeed.
How do people get that book so we whetted their appetite and then we can move on to this CRT stuff?
Yeah, well, anywhere fine books are sold. It's published by Regnery. You can go to their website or Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or
great.
Any other place online.
And it's called Debunking FDR, The Man and the Myths by Mary Graybar. Now, we thought we heard the end of CRT, critical race theory. How does it, for people who thought it was all gone, which it isn't, DEI and critical race theory, the left comes up with all of these terminologies and acronyms, and they usually always mean communism. But what's the difference in here? They do. I mean, they really do. CRT and DEI and what? Why is CRT a scam, which we have known it is? Help us unwrap that a little.
Well, critical race theory, what it implies is looking at our world or history through a critical lens, and that means not in terms of discernment, but in terms of attacking our heritage or maybe our history. So that is a lens through which students are taught to analyze their world around them. And critical race theory uses the lens of race. So everything is seen as a conflict between oppressors and oppressed, and American history gets reduced down to, you know, those conflicts and going back to slavery.
Uh-huh. I see. And then I guess DEI, which we know, is supposed to be the prescription for all that. So first they identify the problem and they say, hey, I know. We're going to do this in order to fix all that. And the this is usually what they had planned all along, right? They are related.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, diagnosis is there's systemic racism, which means it's baked into our system. It's baked into, what the founders intended for us, and therefore we have to correct that by giving preferential treatment to certain groups. So we need to be more diverse and equitable, which means giving favors to certain groups in terms of, admissions to schools or, allowances for, performance on academic tests or assignments. And so we need to level things out, make it equitable, even things out so everyone is the same.
But as we discovered at the beginning of DOGE, which I'm still a fan of, what we saw was that all the graft and the grift that we knew was going on with USAID and I can never think of her name. That got $2 billion. Can't remember her name. $2 billion she got for
Stacey Abrams.
Yeah. Stacey Abrams. I guess I conveniently blocked out that name. That it was really just a cover for a grift, that it was a way to bully, bribe, and blackmail, usually blackmail, groups into doing their bidding. And that's how you do it. You pay them money, you pay them lots of money, and they'll do whatever you want. And the people that were, very well-meaning realized that what this theory did while it was extolling the virtues of minority groups was prepared to stick it to everybody else, kind of as payback.
Exactly. And it sticks it to all taxpayers, which includes people of minority groups. So
how about that?
Right? I mean, if you are in on the grift, then you benefit. But if you're not, if you're just a poor working class person, well, then you have to pay up.
And you write that the Hannah Jones' 1619 Project grift, is it drop? Now, that would be, along with so much else, good news. We see that a lot of the bureaucrats are secretly trying to keep it going, but it's a futile attempt. Tell us about Nicole Hannah Jones, and we know about the 1619 Project. It's not going anywhere anymore, is it?
Right. Well, it seems to be stalling, and that's inspiring her ire. And she seems to be making the same amount per appearance that she was, about 3 or 4 years ago, and not making as frequent appearances. So, so when I wrote my book, Debunking the 1619 Project, I, did an open records request and looked at what she was being paid, and she was being paid $25,000 a pop, sometimes just to appear via Zoom for an hour. I mean, it's pretty good money, I think.
Exactly.
And this was a year after her 1619 Project came out. It was 2020. It was the high point, and she was doing this, every other week. And I estimated that, she was making over $600,000.
Yeah, I think the jig is up, as they say. I hope that's not a racist comment. That's a whole other discussion. I was told it was. Mary Graybar, resident fellow at the Alexander Hamilton Institute. Thank you so much for your time. Good luck with your book. We appreciate you coming on the show.
Thank you.
Great. Well, we are going to have maybe a few laughs, but also a lot of serious conversation about Jews needing protection in America with Salvador Litvak. We'll be back on The Alan Nathan Show. Stay tuned.
Summer can be a nonstop sprint for busy families. Between camps, road trips, and backyard barbecues, meals and snacks need to be quick, convenient, and kid-friendly. Lifestyle expert Yvette Rios has tips from the dairy aisle.
June is National Dairy Month, and dairy is a summertime lifesaver. So whether it's string cheese in a cooler, yogurt cups on the go, or even cottage cheese, these grab-and-go staples fuel kids with without slowing parents down. Refrigerated doughs are another smart pick.
According to new research from the National Frozen and Refrigerated Foods Association, 77% of parents turn to dairy for convenient, kid-friendly summer solutions.
There are so many simple ways to build out a meal with dairy. Pasta salads with shredded cheese, veggie trays with ranch or sour cream dips, cottage cheese bowls topped with fruit and eggs for easy breakfast or protein-packed snacks.
To get more meal ideas and snack inspiration, visit easyhomemeals.com. That's easyhomemeals.com.
It's a well-known fact that guys often skip the doctor when they're sick and delay important health screenings. During Men's Health Month in June, encourage the men in your life to break that bad habit and take charge of their health. Vince Dorsey, a pharmacist and director of medical communications at Esperion Therapeutics, says a great way to start is with a cholesterol test.
The best defense is a good offense. High cholesterol has no symptoms. That's why it's called the silent killer. Don't put it off. Get your cholesterol tested and know your family's health history. You may not realize it, but high cholesterol can be an inherited genetic condition, putting otherwise healthy people, even in their 20s, at risk for heart disease. If you have high LDL or bad cholesterol, it is best to address this as soon as possible. There are ways to lower these levels, reducing your risk of heart attack or stroke.
If you or someone you love has high LDL cholesterol, your doctor may recommend lifestyle changes and medication to keep it in check. Visit heart.org to learn more.
Hi, it's Practical Polly's radio show. If you're just figuring out that healthier cooking oils are better than solid fats, you may be asking, now what am I going to do with all these tubs of lard? Ever had one of those moments when your favorite skinny jeans feel too tightly tailored? Generously apply lard to your hips and thighs and those fancy pants will slide on like a dream. Or here's a family-friendly idea. How about making your yard into a lard fun park? Frost your driveway with a nice thick coating and give those kiddos a downhill thrill no matter what time of year. Having a bad hair day? Yep. A little lump of lard can tame your flyaways in a jiffy. So there's no need for that lard to go to waste or to your waste. But get your best heart-healthy trade-up with healthier oils like canola, olive, or other vegetable oils, which can actually lower your chances for heart disease. Now that's a tip worth keeping for life. Learn more at heart.org/facethefats. Canola Info is the national supporter of the American Heart Association's Face the Fats campaign.
Steven.
Who said that?
Me, down here.
What are you, a yellow booger?
I'm a banana slug, Steven.
Well, what are you doing in my room?
I'm your sense of adventure. Don't you remember me? Don't you know that we miss you?
Miss me? Who misses me?
You know, all your friends in the forest. The trees, the pond, that little fort that you made out of branches. We all miss you.
Mom took me to the forest last year.
I'm a slug, Steven. It took me a long time to get here.
Oh, I guess that makes sense.
This forest is not that far away. Have an adventure today. I'm sure your mom would take you.
You're right. I should get out. I want to have fun. Play in puddles, catch frogs, and climb trees. Hey, Mom!
Yeah, hon?
Steven! What is that in your hand?
It's my sense of adventure, Mom. It's telling me we need to get out of the house and have some fun in nature today.
Come to the forest where the more adventurous you lives. Check out discovertheforest.org for cool places nearby. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
No word in the English language is less convincing than probably.
Are you sure we should get matching tattoos on our first date?
Sure. We'll probably stay together.
Probably? It's been 23 minutes since I ate. I can probably swim.
You should wait 30 minutes.
Okay, now tell me what to do. Cannonball! Cramp! Oh, I have a cramp.
I can probably hit the green from here.
Probably.
Can I get a mulligan?
Ready to go?
Hey, are you sure you're okay to drive?
Yeah, I'm pretty sober. Yeah, I'm probably okay. Probably okay isn't okay, especially when it comes to drinking and driving. If you're drinking, call a cab, a car, or a friend. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message brought to you by NHTSA and ADC.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Alan Nathan Show. I'm Karen Cataline, happily filling in for Alan today. And we have just a wonderful guest, director, producer, and humorist. He's author of Let My People Laugh, Greatest Jewish Jokes of All Time. Bet you know some of what we're going to talk about. And director of the upcoming action film Guns and Moses, Salvador Litvak. Sal Litvak joins us right now on the Alan Nathan Show. Hi, Sal. Good to have you along.
Karen, it's great to be back. And always good to be with you.
You know, so yeah, it's good to be with you too. So not that there's anything going on that have to do with not only the Jewish people, but America in general and the world. This little tiny postage stamp of a country that's the size of New Jersey seems to be the center of the universe for everybody, whether they love them or hate them, us. Because I'm one. I admit it. I'm out of the club. Salvador, Guns and Moses, is that relevant to what's going on right now? Because I wanted to talk to you about more serious subjects. But let's start with some humor.
Well, the book, is, if you want to talk about humor, Let My People Laugh, The Greatest Jewish Jokes of All Time. There is some humor in Guns and Moses, but it's an action thriller, a proper action thriller. Opening in theaters across America on July 18th. But could it be more relevant? It's a movie about Jews under attack who fight back.
Gee, when does that ever happen, right? That's a perfect lead-in to what I wanted to start off with. And that is, I saw this article that couldn't be more apropos, especially since there are a maddening number of Jewish liberals that we keep waiting to come to their senses, and some of them have. They're called October 8th Jews. This article that I saw by Thane Rosenbaum, it's called Locked and Loaded Jews, The Dawn of Locked and Loaded Jews. It's high noon, which means it's high time to surrender the feel-good fairy dust of Tikkun Olam and embrace the hard-bitten historical reality of the OK Corral. Your thoughts?
I mean, listen, I wish it wasn't necessary, but it's something that's very near and dear to my heart. Back in 2019, we had a shooting here in California at a synagogue in Poway, California. And it was at that time that I joined Maganam, which means Shield of the Nation, and it's a volunteer organization that trains and licenses regular guys like me to carry a firearm. And, you know, it takes a lot of training and reps to be safe and accurate if, God forbid, there's a bad guy and you have to shoot to defend your community and you need a lot of practice. Right. And please God, we should never need such skills. But if we do,
but we have a history of needing it.
Target.
We have a history of needing it. The Ashkenazi Jews, and for those who may not know, so I'm not talking in, you know, inside baseball, Ashkenazi Jews are really the great majority of immigrant Jews who came to this country in the 1900s and who have a history of being the descendants of Holocaust survivors. And the first thing that happened in the Holocaust is they were disarmed. And we had Kristallnacht and inflaming and inciting violence towards Jews, scapegoating Jews, and then disarming Jews. Where have we heard this before?
Where have we heard this before? And traditionally in Europe, where we were so outnumbered and kept weak and kept in the corner, and you know that traditional image of the Jew shuffling along and keeping his nose down, and that's been entirely replaced because of Israel. By the image of a strong Jew. Now, in America, we've had this Shangri-La, this incredible period in history where we're like every other immigrant group and we're making our way and we're free. And this is a country that respects differences and has a Second Amendment, thank God. But what we've seen since October 7th, I mean, hate crimes against Jews far outnumber it. Hate crimes against any other group. And then when we stand up for ourselves, oh, you people, you're so strong, you're the warmongers. Sorry, that was not the image you were accusing us of yesterday.
Yeah, but they hate Jews when they're strong. They hate Jews when they're weak. There's
exactly.
A certain percentage of people who will always hate Jews for one reason or another. It's interesting when I get asked, how come people hate the Jews? And I feel like saying to them, why don't you ask the haters? Why are you asking me? But it's something that we think a great deal about. And I just want to put a fine point, I guess, or bring this up, the contrast, if you will, between Jews that have, the liberal Jews have tried to keep their head down, tried to, you know, and the liberalism, which was really a phony, fraudulent kind of liberalism that we love everybody because when it came to supporting Jews, nobody, suddenly they're not a minority. That being said, look at the contrast between the unbelievable valor, the Lion of Judah going on in Israel right now. If American Jews, for self-protection, not to make war, had even a modicum of the percentage of courage that we see in clarity that we're watching in Israel, the very precision strikes to protect Israel and not to go after civilians. It's really quite amazing to be alive watching all this today. What do you think? Just why don't you just wax philosophic and tell us what you think about that?
Well, first of all, we're witnessing history. I mean, these operations, there's never been anything like it. To decapitate the leadership of a terrorist state before the eyes of the world, to have intelligence and plans and operations in place years, decades in the making, and to bear fruit at just the right time. You know, I know so many Persian people here in America. It's like a wonderful, absolutely wonderful people.
Yes, they are.
And please,
yes,
God, there should be a regime change, and they should be liberated from this, you know, absolute tyrannical, wacko, death-obsessed cult that has hijacked their country. May there be a regime change. But yeah, we are
let them do it.
History.
You know, let them have the boundaries. We know that Trump, that's another thing. God, there's just so much, and it's just a pleasure. And that is that the neocons are screaming like Tucker Carlson. Well, we're terrified that Trump is going to get in a protracted war and endless wars and just make peace with them. Trump ain't buying it because they're trying to accuse Trump of doing exactly what they did. They're the ones that got into the protracted wars and enabled bad actors. And now they're saying they don't want to get into a protracted war. Trump took care of it and addressed Tucker Carlson directly and said, it's not peace when you allow a regime like Iran to have a nuclear weapon and to threaten the entire Middle East and the United States. Hello. He was slow to the table on Trump, too.
The whole world. These people have been funding terrorist operations around the world. Look at what they did in Argentina.
Yes.
Constant terrorist activity around the world. And why do you think they want a nuclear weapon? It's not for defense and deterrence. This is absolutely an evil empire. And as for these accusations against Trump, it's the accusation confession. Trump is not Jewish. He's more Jewish than so many Jews, you know, number one.
He called Schumer a Palestinian. He's absolutely right. He's absolutely right. And I may say, you know, to the non-Jews that wonder and they always ask, why are Jews so liberal? Well, and we have some horrible, I say it's our cross to bear. But honestly, it is usually the very most secular Jews who have embraced liberalism over Judaism and who are noisier than any other Jew who does that. And we're finding that Jews, at least partly, are starting to wise up. We just got to be stronger and louder and explain that we love America with all our heart for so many reasons, but America is what enabled the Jews to flourish in this country as they have in peace and in prosperity. And so any Jew doesn't really understand and love the Constitution. They fell for a load of goods. They fell for it. They fell for the lies.
Our founding fathers were very aware of Jewish history and were consciously in forging the American experiment, thinking about a kind of new Jerusalem here in the new world. It was definitely a country based in Judeo-Christian values. And when you talk about these Jews that are so secular, that are so addicted to a kind of liberalism that hasn't existed in 10, maybe 20, maybe 30 years. It's very interesting what you're saying. It's a Jew untethered from Torah will attach himself to some other ism.
Salvador Litvak, guess what? I'm going to ask you to stay because you're just so much fun. Thank you. I know you can, and we can't wait to. And I'll let you pick the topic at the top of the next segment. We're talking about the same subject, but you can start. Salvador Litvak will join us once again after the break. You're listening to the Alan Nathan Show on the Main Street Radio Network. Don't go away.
With the cost of living rising dramatically, budgets are tight and customers are looking for ways to stretch their dollars. T-Mobile has launched two new experience plans, adding industry-leading value and savings, plus a 5-year price guarantee, so customers can rest assured that the price of their talk, text, and data stays the same. The Experience Beyond plan includes over $200 in added value for every line every month, with satellite connectivity, yearly device upgrades, and an entertainment streaming bundle that includes Apple TV+, Hulu, Netflix, and more. For more information, visit t-mobile.com. Sponsored by T-Mobile.
Planning a summer road trip? You're not alone. Over 75% of Americans are hitting the road this season. But before you pack the snacks and playlists, make sure your car and your car insurance are road trip ready. Start with a full vehicle checkup. Brakes, oil, tires, wipers. Pack an emergency kit. Learn how to change a tire and bring a backup map because GPS is not always reliable out there. Understanding your coverage is important as well. Although many people think they understand their insurance, a recent survey found 96% of drivers misunderstood at least one part of their policy. And that's where The General can help. With our app, you can review your policy, file a claim fast, or get a quote in 2 minutes or less. At The General, our mission is to give people a break when they need it most. And that's why we've made managing your car insurance easier, faster, and smoother, so you can stay focused on the road ahead. Planning a trip? Visit thegeneral.com so you can hit the road with confidence.
National Iced Tea Day is just around the corner, and it's the perfect time to celebrate everyone's favorite summertime beverage. As a tea sommelier, I'm always looking for tea products with high-quality ingredients that are sourced responsibly. When it comes to a bottled tea, my go-to is Tea Java. It's brewed in small batches using quality tea leaves from Java, Indonesia. No sugar, no calories, and no added preservatives. Just a refreshing, authentic tea like I brewed it myself. Tea Java is a must-have this summer. You can learn more at teajava.com.
The journey of 1,000 miles begins with the first step. At Children International, we know that the journey to end poverty for good begins first with a child. It starts with their first checkup, lesson, opportunity, job. That journey takes commitment from people like you and me to end poverty for good. Learn more at children.org.
You know that feeling? Like every door is closing and you just can't see a way out? Being unemployed, underemployed, or just out of school feels a lot like that. But when you find the right tools, suddenly, everything just clicks. Getting on that path may be easier than you think. A good place to start? Go to findsomethingnew.org. At findsomethingnew.org, you have access to resources that help develop new skills. Skills that will position you for careers in today's growing industries. From healthcare and manufacturing to cybersecurity and alternative energy. Plus, you can take advantage of online courses, certification programs, apprenticeships, and more. So you can take yourself from unemployed and uncertain to empowered and prepared for what's next. Find your path to a new career today. Visit findsomethingnew.org. A message from the Ad Council.
I'm Ben Affleck, and I want to thank you for joining me and supporting Paralyzed Veterans of America. Our vets need you.
I'm a quadriplegic. I'm definitely at risk with my diminished lung capacity.
I have MS. I'm in a wheelchair and I can't leave the house because I have a compromised immune system.
I'm very concerned about, would there be a bed for me? Would there be a ventilator for me? Would I be able to survive something?
It's just heavy. You know, it's a heavy moment. This is a war. This really is.
Our veterans fought for us. Let's fight for them.
I am so grateful for the PVA. They're making sure that we have all of the food and supplies that we need right now.
We all gotta help each other right now. We can't get through this by ourselves.
It's with profound gratitude that you're going to be saving our lives.
To find out how you can help, please go to helppva.org. That's helppva.org.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Ellen Nathan Show. I'm just having such a good time today and talking with Salvador Sal Litvak, director and producer and humorist, author of Let My People Laugh, Greatest Jewish Jokes of All Time, and director of the upcoming action film Guns and Moses. Hi again, Sal. Thanks for staying with us.
Hello, Karen.
Hi. So, what do you want to start with? I can tell you have a lot on your mind. I'm going to just get out of the way and ask you, with all this stuff that we brought up in the last segment, what did you still want to say, and what's burning in your mind as we watch these amazing times that we're seeing here?
These historic times unfolding before us. You know, the traditional Jewish response to this kind of dangerous era, this kind of danger confronting the nation, we learned it from our forefather Jacob when he was about to confront his brother Esau, who the last time he'd seen him was out to kill him and now was riding toward him with 400 warriors. So we could only assume that danger was imminent. And what did he do? He did three things. He prayed, he attempted diplomacy, and he prepared for war. And that is the classic Jewish response. When we're under threat, we've got to look to our Father in heaven and pray and invoke his assistance. We need to attempt diplomacy, and I'm going to say more about that in a moment, and we have to prepare for war. So the time of the weak, you know, scurrying Jew in the shadows keeping his nose down, that's over. We are not a soft target. We have to be strong in a land like America where there's a Second Amendment. We've got to be prepared, armed, trained, and safe with weapons, like anyone who is carrying firearms. They need to be safe. But attempting diplomacy, I think, is very interesting because we're living in a time right now. It's not only diplomacy with Iran, with enemies of the land of Israel, but here in America, where we are so divided as a nation. Okay, it's not as bad as the Civil War. We were literally killing our brothers and sisters in the country. But some would say it's close. I mean, it is a very, very divided time. And what can we do about that? Well, you know, we also have a teaching. Shimon ben Zoma, the great sage, said, "Who is wise? One who learns from every person." And there's a lot of depth in that because, you know, so many of us think, you know, there's people we love, people we care about, and their views are just so warped. How could they be on the other side of the aisle? How could they believe the things that they believe? They're so misguided. I don't think they're malicious, so they must be so misguided. If they could only see it the way I see it, how can I teach them what's really going on in the world? And of course, they feel the same way about us. They think we're totally misguided. We're completely off the res. So how are we going to bridge that gap? How can we communicate? Well, another thing that we learned from our sages in the Talmud is that if you want somebody to listen to you, you've got to be able to listen to them and to listen to them so well that you can state their position back to them in a way that they would agree, yes, that's what I said, that's what I meant, which we don't do. In this country, we've lost that ability. We don't talk to people who disagree with us in a way that shows that we've heard what they said. We either won't repeat their positions or we'll do it snarkily. You know, as a person who's on the right, I think the left is worse at this. I mean, it's true that they just are so snarky and they break off relationships. But let's give them the benefit of the doubt. let's say that we're all in this pond together, and we all need to learn how to listen to people on the other side and show them that we've heard them. Because then...
And then what? And then what?
Because when we've shown them that we're willing to learn from them, they will be willing to learn from us.
That's the part I disagree with, Sal. I mean, they've bought into an amount of propaganda that is so virulent and vicious. I mean, I'm not saying that... I was trained as a social worker. I'm supposed to be agreeing with
wow.
you.
Wow.
But I... But yeah, I went to Columbia School of Social Work, really, really conservative school. And I just think that, does that take into account the level of vicious propaganda that people who've paid to brainwash people, I mean, is that going to do it when people on college campuses have been taught that Israel is the usurper, Israel is an occupier, Israel is this powerful, huge, massive country, and Hamas and the terrorist countries are the terrorism is they're the victims in the Middle East? How do you talk about that with them when they've bought a load of nonsense?
Hook, line, and sinker. And we're not talking about dumb people. It's on these Ivy League campuses, right? Allegedly brilliant people have completely
not so much
drunk
DEI. With DEI, I'm not sure if we can say that.
Right.
But honestly, I'm challenging you to say, what do you do when people have paid billions to brainwash and to de-edumacate college kids in order to be useful idiots?
Well, let me ask you, Clint. I mean, yelling at them is not going to work, right? Chanting in the streets with holding our signs and placards.
We don't
is
do
not
that.
Work.
We're not the ones who do that. They're the ones that yell and scream and burn up cars and car dealerships. We don't generally
sure.
do that.
But I just think that the only chance we have is one on one, right? It's breaking bread with people and saying, "Aren't you curious? Like, you grew up with me. You think, you know, like you respected me once. Now we have widely diverging views. Why do you think I believe what I believe? I think this is what you believe. Do you agree this is what you believe? Now ask me why do I believe what I believe?"
Here's what we can agree to disagree, you and me, because it's a much more complicated question, and I could talk to you for another hour. And that is that there are some individuals you can do that with and some you can't.
Okay.
I lost the other point, but really there are times when you have to stop negotiating, just like Iran. You know, there are times when you have to, here's what I wanted to say. There's a wonderful quote that I heard recently. I think it had something to do with Douglas Murray, who's wonderful. And he said, you can't reason someone out of a position they never reasoned into.
That's brilliant. That makes
Isn't
so
that,
much sense.
That's
yeah,
really good.
You can't reason them out of something they didn't reason into.
Yeah.
And sometimes you need to be a man with a big stick. I mean, there's
to
no question.
Be continued. I can't wait to have you on again. Sal Litvak, keep up the great work. And love talking to you.
And let everyone come out to the theaters on July 18th to catch Guns and Moses.
Guns and Moses. I hope the movie does great. Take care. Well, we're going to take a top of the hour break. When we come back, we'll have a whole other hour of the Alan Nathan Show. Stay tuned.
The opinions you hear on the Main Street Radio Network are those of the host, callers, and guests, and not necessarily those of the station, Main Street Radio Network, its management, or advertisers. The information on the Main Street Radio Network does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or securities. So please, consult a professional before investing. If you have any questions or comments about Main Street Radio Network, contact us at 703-719-0433 or at our website, mainstreetradionetwork.com.